We are going to have a lecture today for a beginner. Let us close our eyes for a couple of seconds. Bring our energy together and bring God among us. And let God come through all of us, me as a giver of the lecture, and you as a receiver of the truth of God. Hello. Then, if you remember, we discussed yesterday. Anybody remembers what did we discuss?
We're building up to the first seal, the historical significance.
Good, very good. Good. Okay, and we discussed what happened before the creation, what happened, how creation was created, and how before the flood of Noah, how man fell, you know, more and more, and become more crude to the point of they even couldn't communicate with the telepathy, their third eye was closed, they lost all their mystical power energy and become completely gross as the humans that we are now. We even don't know that the spiritual world even exists. You know, most of the people think this is it, what they see is the truth of the universe, and they have no idea that there is greater truth in the universe. We discussed how also the Zoroastrian religion was affecting the Christianity and Judaism and, you know, Islam, and also we talked about the Aryan came down and became split into two groups and went to Iran and went to India. What's interesting happened that Aryan race came down and it split and then to India and to Persian. The fusion happened between them and the colored people, the black people in India, and that. And that is actually when the most greatest revelation of God started coming to humanity. So something happened there when they came and they met each other. And suddenly all the great prophets came from Middle East. Hagar, the wife of Abram, was black. Black woman. Okay. So that is just some point just to ponder on and think. It's an interesting thing to absorb. Now we talked about the mystical path. What is mystical path? Okay. Usually they believe in one God, formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And then, of course, you might ask if that is true. Why Indian people have so many statues and gods and all that? If that is true. But if you study the highest level of the spiritual teaching of Indian teaching, it's not talking about, you know, statues. It talks about Atman, self, is the same as God, as Brahma. So if we understand that, we understand the mystical path in a higher level. It's talking about the formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. When it falls to the lower level, people will start making the statues, pictures, symbols, and they start worshipping them in a stuck in a higher level. So the one of the signs of the high level of mystical path is the people in it believe in formless, invisible, nameless God. The ability of man to know his one God through spiritual practices, meditation, prayer, contemplation, study, service, etc. So the second characteristic of the mystical path is that they believe they can know God by knowing themselves. Okay? And that is when they recommend meditate, contemplate, concentrate, go, you know, away from the society, you know, don't get attached too much to the external world and material things and all that. Of course, they go sometimes too far, you know, of completely, if you go to India, there are sadhus, they are absolutely naked, they have nothing, they even don't have clothes, and they, you know, walk around, and if somebody gave them something to eat, they eat, if they didn't give it, they don't eat. Of course, we discussed some of them absolutely are fake. They accept that life so they can get their food without working or something. So they gone too far that way. And the teaching that there is a spiritual world that is more real than this physical world, and the goal is to realize and return to it. So, we said there was a spiritual world before, you know, before the flood of Noah. right? If the Brahma Sutra is about the pure from Nova, it's still there. You can't go anywhere, you know. So the only thing happened to us that we don't recognize it exists. Okay? But of course God made some people to recognize more. They are more connected to the spirit. That is why the physical body doesn't satisfy them completely and they want something more. Okay? Just like that cricket that longer to go home. Okay? Is that your story? A story of your realization?
Huh? I'm not claiming it.
No. But actually it sounds like a Jonathan leaving them to go.
Yeah.
They were all praying with the food and all that. So we can see that the spiritual world exists. It existed before the flood of Noah. It existed during the flood of Noah and it exists still there. It is there. That spiritual world, that mystical part is there, but we cannot know it because we lost it. We lost the ability to know it. And the reason we lost it is because we misused it. There's still people misuse it. People get a little power. What do? They get an 800 number and say, call me, I'll see your future. I am psychic. Just a little bit of the spiritual power and they go just crazy. And they use it to gain their livelihood and they start saying, okay, what is more than that little psychic power that I have gained, you know. Because you know the story of that I could see the people's future when I started meditating, you know. And then I misused it. After 1 month I lost it, you know. God was telling me, don't misuse your power, okay. Because you're not going to get anywhere with it. You're going to get stuck. The moment you start misusing your power, you're stuck in your spiritual path. That's it. So I said, okay, you're playing with your toy? Fine. You play with your toy, I can go and help other, you know, beings that they want to come to me, you know. So if you gain spiritual power, just say, thank you God, I don't want them. I want you. So like your little child that, you know, the mother gives him a little toy and he is happy, or she's happy. And what the mother does? Mother goes and does whatever she wants to do. Okay? But if you say, no, I want you, mother, I don't want a toy, you throw the toy, what the mother has to do? I have to pick him up and try to, you know, so whatever father God gave you, throw it away, tell him I want you. And he said, okay, come to me. So does the spiritual world exist and you have to understand that is the goal. To go back home, not attached to the little power, little, you know, a little understanding, but God's understanding. So that is the basic of a mystical path. So anything doesn't fall into these three quality, belief in one God, the ability of man to know God, and saying that the spiritual world truly exists, either it is not a mystical path, or it is not the highest of a mystical path. But it is not a mystical path. The mystery school might that human are God, okay? They are God with the small g, even the paravipras or the elect, they are not still God yet. They have 1,000 more years to go and work on themselves before they can claim that they are God. And how many people out there that their life is absolutely in array and they have no spiritual, you know, progress, still they come to our room and say, they are God. And because they, after 12,000 years of progress, you know, you guys still have to work on yourself another 1,000 years to be able to claim, yeah, now I can say I am God, you know, I am the Son of God. So we can say it is true that our essence is the same as God, but it is more than just the, you know, realizing that. You have to really become it. Really go through the eternal mind path. You know, go, you know, create consciousness of life and all that. Belief in many gods. This also happens to mystical religions when those in lower level take the spirit behind creation as gods. Believe in many gods.
How many gods can be there? When you break God to the smaller God, what happens to humanity? They start becoming separated from one another. The moment I give you my God one name, I call him Allah, and you call your God Jehovah, they have two gods. But if there's only formless, invisible name, there's an eternal God, and his name cannot be even pronounced in the external world, how many gods do we have? You have only one God, that you cannot even say what was his name, what is his name? Okay? And we all believe in it. Any name we call him, it's not his name. Okay? Therefore, you cannot call him his name, she cannot call it another name. You have to accept the nameless, or at least his name only can be recognized within you. Okay? Then we can't fight with each other anymore, because there is only one God that is beyond any name or any of these. Of course, in a lower level of mystical path, in some nations like even in India, they're believing in many gods, many statues, many things. That is when the mystical path falls to the lower level. Okay, and then the people take the spirit behind things as God. It is true. The spirit of everything is God. Okay, the spirit behind the tree is God. The spirit behind you is God. But the moment we're bringing down the higher level of understanding of the mystical path, we fall to the lower level of the mystical path. Ancestral worship. Instead of worshiping God, worshiping your ancestors. That I am from this ancestor, and I worship my ancestors, and ancestors come every night down to earth. Many tribes believe in, the ancestors come back at night, and all that is, again, is not the highest level of realizing God. There might be some truth on it, because, when people die, they really don't die. Just they leave their body, go to another state, But can you destroy anything in this universe? No, nothing can. It can be converted to different, levels or energy or even energy. Mechanical energy can be converted to the heat energy. The heat energy can be converted to the light energy, but it's not destroyed. It becomes something else. So you can't destroy anything. When you die, you're not dead. You just transfer yourself to another state. Following the teachings of the fallen angels, hierarchy, brotherhood, mystery school, people believing in Isis, and not Isis, but Isis. What can we call Isis and people that believe in Nimrud Brat? What's a good word for it? I call it a mystery school because there wasn't, I couldn't come up with anything else.
Illusionist.
Then that follow everybody.
Is it the same thing with Moody Christian? Is it a mystery school?
They believe in Christ, don't they?
Yes.
And they don't believe he died on the cross.
He didn't die in the cross.
Yeah, he
believed it was only old.
Great white brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
They believed in Melchizedek.
Melchizedek.
Yeah. And was it possible to get their tradition from the Egyptians?
Do you believe in Isis and all those?
It to do with Essenes.
Essenes and the Rosicrucians? Yeah.
So there's a mystery school that of a man-made hierarchy, and then there's also a mystery school, because we use the word, of a more of a godly hierarchy.
Okay.
That are more related to the past, and the ones related by man, that they're making themselves God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same word, again, like lower nature and higher nature.
So you say there's two mystery schools.
One is mystical path, that is the highest, is from God, and the mystery school that made man made. As there is the Son of God and the Holy Ghost and the Father, and also there is Father, Holy Ghost, and the Son, which is made by man. So Samarimis was saying she is the Holy Ghost, and her child is an immaculate conception, because after 3 years at Nimrud, she become pregnant, and she says, well, this is immaculate conception, and Nimrud came back, you know, in my womb, and then his son became the Son of God, because Nimrud was God. And also we have God and the Holy Ghost who come to the Messiah, and Messiah is the Son of God. There's two explanations of the same thing, but the two meaning, one is man-made, this one godly. So there is mystery school which godly, which called the mystical path, and the mystery school is man-made, which called, so maybe we should call him Nimrudian. Nimrudian school.
They're just rude.
This is rude.
How about mystery school from ignorance?
Ignorance, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, let's just, for the sake of this presentation, let's just call the mystery school human-made or something like that. Okay. So mystery school says that human-made is not a mystical path. Believing many gods is not mystical path. Instead, ancestral worshiping and following the teaching of the fallen angel with the hierarchy and all that. Now, in general, anything that has touch, smell, and appeal to your senses is not the highest. Okay? The moment you see a physical, and even going to a heaven which has a physical attribute, it's not the highest. The highest is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. That is the highest mystical path that we should strive to become. So that cuts a lot of people off, you know, the business they have made out of God. Right there. They all fall to the ground. If we get most people follow these teachings, you know, all those the schools wouldn't have any members. They're all people going to think and meditate themselves and know God within. They don't have to go to this school and that school and this guru and that guru, you know, and that's the absolute truth. They are, you know, the people, they are misleading the souls of man, and they are not taking them to God, they are taking to themselves. So that's one of the absolute things, that the more people realize this truth, the more we will not have all this, you know, organization and things that really are not helping anybody to go to God. Mystical experiences are also given to many people in all cultures and all through history. Not only the mystical school or mystical teaching was revealed to Noah, also a lot of people had mystical experiences. You know, just like a Sufi, like a Kabbalist, like a Christian saints, that they absolutely felt that they are dying and God become more in them and they become less of themselves, as I said, the more he meditated, the more Christ was in him, and less of him was there. In fact, it's just like our teaching that you don't exist. You know. God really exists, but you are illusion. You are the delusion. God is the reality. Okay. If you think you are existing, then you are in delusion. Okay. But if you realize that God exists, you don't, then you are having a great belief in the truth of life. So that's what exactly happened to that Christian that said, you know, Christ is more in me every day, and there is less in me left as the Christ increases in me. So that means that he had a, you know, mystical experience. Yeah, that Sufi that John says, Allah and Allah means I am God. Of course, the Orthodox stone him because he is blaspheming. When Christ said, me and the Father are one, same thing, it means I'm Allah, you know, I'm God, you know, there is nothing left in me but him. That experience was not only given with Noah, but also it continued, it's happening last 2,000 years. Many mystics had experienced the oneness with God. So he also put
that example for humanity to recognize, they also can reach to the same state. What are the major mystical paths on earth? And what do they teach? Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikh, other branches of Hinduism, Native American, American Indian belief, Kabbalah, sensing Christianity. That was interesting about the sensing Christianity, that I was trying to find out more about them. Very few you can find, it talks about their experience. You know, it's absolutely, don't talk about how they got there. You know, the only thing I found is very little about St. Francis of Assisi and St. Teresa, that they had some mystical experience. Otherwise, Christians don't talk about the experience of the mystic or saint. They mostly were talking what they did, what they accomplished. It's a very Western way of thinking, instead of seeing what made them to feel like that and become so self-sacrificing. You know, that was an interesting observation again. You know, we can see what the difference between Western and Eastern way of thinking is. You know, it's very job-oriented or work-oriented, what did they did, what they accomplished, instead of what they realized. I just couldn't find in the internet that they talked about what was their experience before they become saints, something like that, or miracle. Sufism, any other belief that falls into the category of mystical path. Okay. So, of course, we just explained what mystical path is. If any belief besides this fall into the same category, they are also mystical paths. If they think about the, you know, the one God, and most of the old religion, to the highest level, they are mystical paths. But in lower level, they fall into, even the people who ancestor worshipper, they also believe in something bigger than their, you know, ancestors. It is God itself. So then in that level, they must also be considered a mystical path. Hinduism is based on the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, the oldest scripture on earth. So as we explained yesterday, after the flood of Noah, the humans were scattered all over the earth. Okay? So as they were scattered all over the earth, the teachers took this teaching and went to different places. Okay. The teaching was from the master or teacher to a student. Okay, it was going to them orally. They wouldn't put it down. Okay. Until probably a couple of hundred years before Christ, eventually they realized they cannot find enough disciples to carry it down. So they decided to put it down to writing. That is when these scriptures were formed, and they say this is the oldest scriptures on earth. So the basics it has in the Hinduism is bhakti, is devotion, karma is the service, and jnana or knowledge. Bhakti means love your God with all your heart, mind and your spirit, and you don't have to know too much philosophy, you don't have to do too much, but just God, love God with all your heart. And that, we're going to take you to God as fast as possible. As we explained very many times, that bhakti is the fastest way to God, but it's the most dangerous way to God. Because, first of all, you love God so much that you want to bond him according to what you want him to be. So if he doesn't become exactly what you want him to be, you know, you get pretty upset about him. The second is karma yoga, which you say, okay, God is coming through me, I'm doing a lot of service for God, and you work to do God's will. And the jnana is knowledge. You read books, you understand, you read the people who wrote about the spirituality, understand what they're saying, and you progress that way. In the karma yoga, in the bhakti yoga, if you fall, you don't have anything underneath you. You're absolutely so in love with God that if he doesn't do exactly what you want, then you just completely don't have any safety net. In karma yoga, still you might continue doing your work, although you don't feel God, and eventually God might come back to you. In jnana yoga, still you have your knowledge, eventually you might go back to... That's why the bhakti yoga is the fastest way, but it is the most dangerous way to go to God. What to be other mission? Are we following bhakti, karma, or jnana? Exactly. No, we say love your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit, but remember, surrender and submit to God, and let God come through you and give the, you know, all the credit to Him. That is karma yoga, and jnana yoga, that is jnana, we're studying about teaching. There is a scripture. Again, this eternal divine path combines all the levels of the spiritual path. So it's much more comprehensive than just taking one of them and only concentrating on that one thing. Upanishad is one of the teachings of the Hindu religion that means to sit down near, just like us, sitting and talking about God together. And Vedanta means really the end of Veda. There are the scriptures that have been written with the realized people, and they have instructed their students what is the essence of a spiritual realization progress. And there are more than 1,000 Vedantas or Upanishads on Indian culture. Around 100 of them are considered genuine, 11 considered significant or major. Vedanta, the base of Hinduism, accepts that Brahma, the impersonal God and the universal soul, formless, invisible, never eternal, is the absolute truth. Again, you see, the highest level of Hinduism is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. The highest Hinduism is not those pictures or statues or all those things that people take as the highest. It's a universal, it is absolutely impersonal, it's absolutely, you cannot bring it to a form of consciousness and Triguna. Vedanta, Brahma, and Bhagavad Gita are the triple canon of the Vedanta. This three belief makes the base of Hinduism. Yeah?
It said 100 of the Upanishads are considered genuine. What does that mean for like the other 900? Are they man-made or?
They are called minor Upanishads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not considered that important. And usually Hindus concentrate in that 100. At least 900 usually, very few people might believe in them or some. You know, French group somewhere, you know, accept one of them as important or something. There are six systems of Indian philosophy in the form of sutras. And, you know, besides all these, there are epics, Ramayana and Mahabharata, and stories of 18 major and other minor introduction for scriptures, songs and hymns and much more. So you can see it's amazing religion. It's just so much in it. Probably they have more thing to read and study and go for it than any other religion. If other young religions have been influenced by dogmas, how much has this older religion been influenced by human understanding? Just imagine if Christianity is 2,000 years and we have so many dogmas. If the Islam is only 1,300 years and we have so much dogmas, I imagine a religion that is 12,000 years or 8,000 years. That's why you can see there's so much superstitious, there's so much, you know, dogmas, there's so much misunderstanding, there's so much philosophy, there's so much different ideas in India. If you go to India after a while, you become absolutely confused. What is Hinduism? That's why ask anybody, what is Hinduism? Nobody really can tell you. And we can't say, what is Christianity? Christianity believing in Christ. Okay, it's simple. It's just right up. But you ask a Hindu, what is Hinduism? They can't tell you. Because Hinduism is become so many things to so many different people. So there's a lot of dogma, there's misunderstanding, this belief that is not based on the highest level of Hinduism. Okay, branches of Hinduism. What most of the people believe Buddhism is a religion separate from Hinduism completely, and actually Buddhists have tried very, very hard to make a distinction between Hinduism and Buddhism. But really, Buddhism is a reformation of Hinduism. You know, there were so many gods that Hindus believed and followed. When the Buddha came, he just had enough of them. Okay? That's what he said, just forget about God, know thyself. Okay? And of course, he brought the, also some very deep concept of what is the base of the suffering. The base of the suffering is because we get attached to the external world, which is a temporary thing. And we expect the temporary thing to stay constant. And it doesn't. Okay? We want everything to stay constant. We have a special idea how things should be. Okay? But what we expect how things should be does not happen exactly we want them to be. And that creates suffering because you meet someone, you like that person, and you feel very accelerated with knowing such a person, and you go and you imagine that we're going to do this together, we're going to do that together, we're going to have be friends and this and that, and you feel you meet each other first time, it happens and you're excited and all that, and the next time maybe he's not in the mood, good mood, or something happened or whatever, you know, it doesn't go exactly you want. Suddenly all those imagination you had about that person you're going to have so much fun together just goes out again. What happens? You start suffering. Because you wanted to think to be the way you want them to be. So that's what Buddha is basically teaching, that the life is suffering. The only way not to suffer is to accept and see the things exactly the way they are. The truth, the reality of the life. Instead of imagining, instead of expecting, instead of creating things for yourself the way you want them to be. You know. So he brought a very good psychological base for what the suffering is. But it is not the whole reason for suffering. So in Buddhism, he touches some part of it, but it doesn't touch every aspect in it, and the mission not only accepts what it says, but it goes even beyond that. Okay. He brings a community of light that in the community we might accept some of his principles. So in the community of the people, children expect them. I've been teaching, don't be attached to the result of your action. Or don't, you know, try to be attached to whatever is in the external world and see the external world exactly as it is. But people are sometimes not in a good mood, accept that. People are not in a good mood. You know, then if they're not in a good mood, you don't get affected. You know, you become more and more realistic about life. Okay? You can accept the situation that they're not going to be always as you expect it to be, as perfect as you want them to be. You know, as you accept that, life becomes easier. You know, and you will suffer less. Actually, you can say Buddha brought the purest form of Hinduism back to Hindus. Okay? He had enough of the all God, he had enough of the Brahmins, he had enough of, you know, all those things that made Hinduism so bounding. So he tried to relieve them to higher level. And some Buddhists say that Buddha said there is no God. He never said that. He just said, don't worry about God. No, just know thyself, okay? And the path is better for you. Buddhism founded with Siddhartha, Gautama, 500 BC, based on Dharma and Sangha. Dharma means the innate nature of man, and Sangha means the community. All things are temporary, and so will create suffering, pain. To escape this is the goal of life. Nirvana. Four Noble Truths. Purified Hinduism, it's, as we explained, is really Hinduism purified with him. Branches, Mahayana, great vehicle. Theravada, lower vehicle, it's more traditional. Vajrayana,
Mahayana with the emphasis on Tantra, Zen or Shan, fusion between Mahayana and Taoism, seeing the world as it is really, or really it is. So these are the different branches. The Mahayana is mostly followed in Tibet area, and the other one is more in the south of area, and of course they got Tantra in it. Tantra, of course, as we said, it is the path of going through and seeing the emptiness of the things. You know? Of course, they say go through it physically, but we say go through it through your meditation. And see how empty it is. You know, and Zen, of course, is the Chinese way of Buddhism, which they brought both that and Taoism together, and the teaching is be, you don't have to read or know the philosophy of Buddhism, but you have to actually point out the stuff, teaching or trying to bring it to other people, but point out the truth right to the student. That's why they don't teach verbally, they bring such a meditation, and then they make it practically to see your what you go wrong or something like that. The whole idea is, what is delusion? What is your attachment? To show you are where you are getting attached to the temporary thing, and what is more permanent in every situation. So don't get attached to it. The next is Jainism. There's another Hinduism branch. Again, they are emphasizing they are a different religion than Hinduism. And actually, their founder of Jainism was found by a teacher called Mahavira. They follow the Ahimsa to the fullest. Actually, Mahavira and Buddha were at the same time. And you can see, sounds like in that period of time, the Hinduism was so bounding that there was this idea was coming out, we need something new to change Hinduism to a higher level. And probably that helped, both of them helped Hinduism to go back to a more basic truth of it. The Jains, they're absolutely non-violent, and they follow the Ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-violence. And actually the priests, they carry a broom, so they broom in front of them, so they don't kill any ants or insects or anything. I don't know, when you broom them, they probably kill more than...
Was it still during the time of all the blending of the races? Because you got Buddha, and you've got Mahavira, and you've got all these great souls coming in. So is that still at that time frame of the blending of the races?
It was also the time of the Chaldean Empire, or whatever that means. Mm. It's a pretty interesting time of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah. So a progression of the social class was happening too at the same time.
Yeah. It could be, but it sounds like the mixing of the races started happening in time of the Shiva. It was a little before that. And I think by this time, I think Hinduism had become so, in a bounding, and so teaching was falling so low, and suddenly this great realization had to come and just lift it up a little more from the lower level and tell them this: the truth is go to God, go to thyself, okay, or don't harm each other, or follow back to the Ahimsa. I see both of them as the reformers of the Hinduism. I don't see as a separate, but the emphasis is greater in different parts of Hinduism. I always saw Hinduism as an amazingly vast philosophy. That if you look at different parts, you can actually create different religion in it. But it's really not different religion, it's just a part of a whole body because it's so vast. I feel, that Buddha emphasized only in one part Hinduism. He just had enough of those all gods and his, statues and all. Of course, now Hindu, Buddhists even, have statues, pictures and all that. Of course, I believe that the
Chinese or Tibetan were connected to American Indians. Actually, if you like look at their paintings, it very much looks like it. What is those dolls called?
Kachinas.
If you look at them, kachinas and those things they have in Buddhism, they're very similar. So Buddhism went to Tibet, but it gets affected with the teaching before it, which is very similar to American Indian. And they are coming from the same races. Of course, they say Asian came to United States, but I believe actually Indian went to Asia. Because that's why Chinese that, and Tibetan, all those people look like American Indian, only are in North Asia. Very few of them trickled down to the south, you know. But American Indians were all the way to, you know, America. And they found a site from American Indian which old, 50,000 years old. That's another thing in the mission that I believe is a little different than what they say it is. Anyway, let's go back to our topic, Jainism. Okay, another branch is Sikhs, founded by Guru Nanak, have had great influence on India, tried to reconcile the difference between Hinduism and Islam. That's another religion that they believe they are separate from Hinduism, but if you even study Sikhs, still you can see the influence of Hinduism in a greater degree than Islam itself. And the only part they took from Islam probably was the militant part, that they are more militant than Hindus. You know, they believe in you have to take the sword and fight and, you know, spread your word. But they have had great influence of Hinduism. The number is not very large, but they have very big influence in India. Another group is Tantra, the path of overcoming by recognizing the emptiness of our longing, low and high path. Okay, there is also Tantra that we talked about many times, that is the path of going through the experience and then realizing how empty it is. Okay. And of course the higher level is to go through it in the mental, higher mental thing. In the lower level it engages to the real acting out the desire. And that is when most of the people look at the Tantra as a sexual relationship between people, and some people fall for that, as they, that is what it means. It really, that means that is very low level of Tantra. Other branches in Hindu, except there are many Hare Krishna people, there are many branches in Hinduism. That is, if you get to the nitty gritty, then we're going to spend a couple of lifetimes just talk about them. Native American, the second we talk about as a mystical people are the Native American. They believe in one God, creator or greatest spirit. Of course, again, they believe in a spirit in dog, a spirit in tree, a spirit in this and that. But the highest level of their teaching is really the great spirit. They also believe in the spirit behind all things. But of course, that is the lower level. They all have stories about how their religions were revealed to them and why they had to stay in the territory they were in. So they kind of sound like they stayed the territory because they realized if they don't have those beliefs, there's going to be a fight between the people in them. So in order to keep it peaceful, they created this idea that we have to stay in our area and go anywhere. Also, they believed that there was a white brother came to the United States, and he traveled all the way from North America to South America and taught them culture, and I mean agriculture and many religious things, and made them go very far and become civilized. Of course, some people say it was Christ who came here after he was crucified, and some people they say it was Enoch who came here and taught them. So it depends who you talk to, but the most important thing, they are also waiting for the Messiah. As you know, they took Cortez, because he was a white man and had horse and he came with the sheep. They took him as their Messiah, and of course, he did a very good job on them. He wasn't really the good Messiah. He was a bad one. Of course, that had to happen, otherwise we wouldn't be here teaching this thing in the United States. All had some kind of practice to realize the spirit behind this physical life, mystical experience. The most famous one is the vision quest practice for some tribes. Of course, they have also the wet lodge. It's just like a sauna. But of course, that's more spiritual. People are sitting there meditating. It really helps. It really gets your body sweat and, you know, it's just like fasting, actually. Gets toxin out of body. The next spiritual, you know, I reckon of the spiritual forces or mystical path is Kabbalah. It's a Jewish mystical path. It reveals through the Bible and its prophets. It is based on the book called Zohar. It teaches that the universe operates according to certain supreme powerful principles. Kabbalah empowers us to understand and live in harmony with these laws. The spirit is interwoven with matter. So it is the teaching that they think that all the prophets were talking about and teaching in the Old Testament, but they believe the knowledge is even beyond this revelation of the Bible, and it comes from the very foundation of the creation. So again, it goes back to the teaching of Noah after the flood. They don't know where it came from. They know it works. It's based on the laws of principle of the universe. Again, the teaching goes back to somewhere beyond, you know, our history, as the Hinduism is. And so we can see that, again, all of them seems to have come from same essence, from same source. The knowledge of Kabbalah should be passed on from teacher to a student. Again, we can see the oral tradition. Okay. The teacher says and the student learns, and then, but of course, we put down later on again, just like as the Vedas were also to come on the paper as a book. Now we have a book, Zohar. Before that, they didn't have any book. They would just give it to each other and we talk, think, you know, toss the bones. It was shrouded in secrecy because a lot of people felt that if it falls in the hand of the uninitiate, they might misuse it, they might not understand it, they might, you know, actually a lot of Orthodox Jews do not agree with the people who follow Kabbalah. You want to say something?
I just thought that was surprising.
Yeah, you see, just like Sufis are not accepted with the Orthodox Muslim, you know, because it's different. Mystical, or saints in Christianity, you know, in the beginning probably the saints were odd to the regular people. Saint Francis, you know, when he came from the war and he didn't want to fight with the Muslim, and he started singing to the birds and going to a thing.
Gay talk.
He's crazy, but eventually, of course, he started his own church and become a saint, and people started realizing, wow, he really is connected with greater things than they are. Okay. So, same thing here, you know, with the Kabbalah. You know, Kabbalah is something is odd to the regular Jewish, you know, teaching that, you know, just follow the, you know, the first five of the book of the Bible. Zohar deals very directly with the concept of reincarnation, visionary experience, and the presence of unseen influences in our mind. Again, we can see this is a mystical path, isn't it? Experiencing God, experiencing a higher thing, experiencing the spirit. Again, Kabbalah is the mystical path in Jewish religion. Any questions? Any comments? They believe that it is, came from the prophets in the Old Testament, but at the same time they believe it's beyond even Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So it come, as I said, it come beyond, before even Jewish. Yeah. Of course, we know Hebrews were influenced with the Zoroastrian religion, mm-hmm. and Zoroastrian were influenced with the Hinduism and the teaching before that. So that came from Nova. So the whole this teaching, as it comes to the different people in different environment, the same teaching changes a little bit. Because that is the law of evolution. You know? Just like those a squirrel in two sides of the Grand Canyon, in two sides of the Colorado River, they have been the same squirrel that they live with each other. But now they have been split for a couple of million years, they have created different habits, different shape, different look, and this is the one in the south. But they were the same as squirrel in the beginning. Just the same thing. The mystical path and the Nova brought to humanity was the same. But this and then God scattered man all over the earth. Each of them adopted that according to their environment and their, you know, evolutionary path. You know. And that's why again the cultures are mixing here, and at the same time they don't understand each other because each culture learned differently to cope with their environment. They accepted different religion according to what they received, according to what was environmentally more acceptable to them. Now the culture in the Middle East seems so odd to the West, or because if you want to go to the Middle East, if you want to go from even Europe to China, it would take you a year or two to get there. Who wanted to go to such a long distance road with the thieves and the, a lot of dangerous place to get there? Very few. You know, going Marco Polo going from Italy to, you know, China was a big deal. It's a part of history. How many people go to China every day? Nobody writes about them. Was Mr. Smith went to China today. And so although they are all have come from the same source, they must say a little different things. So Kabbalah also have come from the same. But also, as you said, that people have had mystical experiences. And when you compare the mystical experience in every religion, they're the same. They see the universe, they see God behind the, you know, material thing. They're not so different. Same thing Christianity. Few mention of their experience, as we discussed, that was very interesting to me, that really they don't mention, you know, what happened to them, or how they became saints. True saints, however, had a mystical experience with God. I began seeing the case of St. Francis and St. Peter, you know, that they have had some experiences, and also other saints in Christianity, that they have the stagnita, that they could believe they would have the same kind of a hole in their hands or feet, and they would bleed out, you know, on them, and so they have had some experience directly with God and a spirit. Many of them went through a period of intense isolation, prayer, and meditation, like everybody. If actually, if you study the life of all the prophets, they went through a period of intense isolation. They absolutely were cut off from people. It happened to me too. when I kept doing ISIS, I was isolated absolutely by myself. And, you know the story. Their view was universal and based on recognition of God in the whole universe. They had a universal point of view. You know? They accepted other religions from everywhere. They didn't say, no, we are Christian, you are no good, or this. They say, okay, you are Muslim or Hindu or good, doesn't matter. Just like Mother Teresa. He went to India and worked with the Indians. And he didn't try to convert them to Christianity, he just wanted to serve. You know, because he saw God in everybody and everything. Perform miracles as it was expected from them. Actually, if you do not perform miracles, Catholic Church doesn't accept you as a saint. You know, there has to be one or two miracles happen before they say, okay, you are a saint, okay. So it was expected from them to have a miracle, so they did. Sufism is, of course, the mystical path of the Muslim. It is the path of love and devotion toward God, as lover and beloved. So they are in the path of bhakti. Now absolutely they love God. If you, the greatest poem about God, if you, I'm sure all of you know Rumi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Persian poet.
Yeah, Persian poet. And what is this? You guys know about those poets? Rumi and do you know anybody else? Khalil Gibran. You can say it. It's impossible for you guys. You know, your vocal cords haven't been, you know, from the childhood. You have to, you know, start from the childhood to the... So Khalil Gibran, okay.
He was a Sufi.
Most of his friends were Sufis, yeah. Yeah, it's a... the Orthodox Muslims tried very hard to keep the Sufis down and out of the... Because they said such a beautiful thing about God, and everybody started reading the poems and, you know, accepting them. After all, they couldn't do anything with them. Because the people, majority accepted Sufis as a great lover of God. They practiced meditation and ritual to reach deeper level of self and to experience God, the spirit. So again, meditation, isolation, thinking, meditation. Same thing, same practices in the mystical path. Many believe Muhammad himself was Sufi. He meditated in cave above Mecca for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Actually, they believe that when he went to Syria, he joined a group there that they were meditating. And that's how he got to know Christianity and Judaism, because he was a caravan master. And for many years he traveled. And of course the first education is traveling, going to different places, to different cultures, absolutely opened your mind. And he used to take a caravan and take it from Arabia to Syria and those places. And in the way, when you're in caravan, you don't have anything else just to talk. And what does he talk about? He talked about God and went and met many people in different religions. And they said that he, in that travel, eventually got to one of those groups and they taught him meditation. And when he married Khadija was a rich woman, so he didn't have to travel anymore or anything. So from 25 years to 40, most of the time he was in a cave at the top of the Mecca and meditating by himself. So we can see that, you know, even he was a Sufi himself.
Okay.
Techniques vary, but they have three things in common: rhythm, repetition, and endurance. So, repetitions of words, just like mantra, dancing, and with rhythm, and sometimes indoor pain, you know. And that was kind of bringing them in a greater degree of ability to, you know, indoor life, or be tough, you know. And how the people in the mission should be, that should be tough people. So we can say again, rhythm, the meditation, the using of mantras. Of course, they use a lot Allah. They sing Allah, Allah, and they have some mantra kind of using the Allah. Allah, of course, is the mantra, so they repeat it. And rhythm, just like Hayyam Shariyan. If you sing Hayyam Shariyan for a long time, and you really get to it, it's just like riding a camel. And imagine you're riding camels for hours. The only thing is it goes like this, and you're in the rhythm of the camel, and they have a bell, and as the camel goes, go bing, 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 and after a couple of hours, your mind absolutely comes to steal. That is the best meditation you can have. I've never rode camel in this lifetime myself, but I have imagined it, how it feels. Because sitting in a camel, it's camel going rhythmic for hours, and it is a desert, it's not a 10-minute ride, it's a whole day ride. And you're going in the same rhythm, and you can't talk to anybody, you're sitting there, and that bell goes bang, bang, bang. This is what's happening to your mind. Absolute meditation. Okay. Orthodox Muslims do not give much credit to them, but they have had a great influence on people, as we just talked about. They really don't like them because they say things that is absolutely throw them out of their books and, you know, you have to do this and that. They don't. They just break the rules. Actually, maybe that's part of the Sufism, is to break a rule once in a while. Okay? Do something illegal. That's actually part of the teaching. That, of course, you know, probably the reason is because Islam became so, you know, rigid that they break the rule. Don't just follow it exactly. Susan converted many people to Islam. Actually, there's a story, most of the people in India were converted to Islam because of Sufis. And actually it influenced also the Hinduism itself, you know, by the teaching that Sufis brought to India. There are many branches of Sufis all over the world. It has all the elements of mystical path. So it has the meditation, it has the recognition of God, it has the bhakti, very mystical path. There is no doubt about that. Okay? But it's not mystical path, and it's not religion based on God's plan. What is not a mystical path? Ancestor worshipping again, believe in many gods, worship anything in the manifested world in the sense of the spirit in the temple of one's body. So God is within you. Don't look anywhere else. Don't look out. There's not there. It's not in the statue. It's not in the dog or the cat or anything else. Of course, he's in all of them too. But you find it best within yourself. Taking human as God, that's another thing you should go on human life. You know, you should not accept anybody. Just take their teaching. If they say something good, take you to God, take that, but don't take them as God. Mystery school, mystery, man-made mystery school. founded by Nimrud, Nimrudian. Lower level in the mystical religion that have forgotten about formless, invisible, nameless God. So the Hindus, to realize they should not, you know, take the statues and things like that as God. But they have to go higher thing, which is the spirit. The true teaching of the Hinduism which Buddha tried to bring back. China's belief in Confucius and Taoism, they are forms of guidance, not religion or revelation. They're good. I'm not saying don't read them or understand them. They're a wonderful thing, and they're beautiful saying and helpful. Some of them, of course, some of them is not that good. There's a confusion that, though, if the woman being a leader is just like a hen acting like a rooster. Yeah. And then one of those greatest emperors was a woman, you know, in a time, you know, thing. So not everything they say is correct. Okay. But a woman like men should prove themselves they are good leaders. It's not that because of their woman we should accept them as good leaders. So they are men, they are good leaders. They have to prove themselves they are. You know. And so also where is their best self God? Doesn't matter where we are. The most important is how much our contribution to God's work is manifested in a greater degree. That then, you know, we're satisfied where we are. And we know that we're doing a good job. But to all these mystical paths basically say, there is only one God. The highest level of all mystical paths say, God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. It doesn't have a form, it doesn't have a shape, it doesn't have a taste, a smell. Go to the highest. If it has any physical attribute, you're still stuck. There is a spiritual world that is much greater than this physical world. As we said, we could have seen it. We had the direct relationship with them. Mm-hmm. The goal of the life, or the goal of life, is to reach this world, become divine, and overcome this external world. That's the goal of life. That's why we are here. That's why the whole creation has been created. because there was destruction, there was darkness, there was separation from God, and God created the whole universe together. He fell and fell and fell. Eventually to reach the point that our cerebral was closed, we cannot, you know, have the telepathic ability, and we are in the place that we are absolutely lost it. Lost all the ability to be connected to the external world, and now we are trying to go back to a spirit again. So you can see absolutely that is the goal of life, to become divine, to go back to God or the spirit. Each human can achieve this goal, although it is not easy. As Christ said, many will go and few will find it. Many will be called, few will be chosen. Or the door is wide and the road is wide leads to destruction. The road is narrow and hard leads to life. Know thyself to know God. All these can be categorized as a mystical path. So, first of all, it has to be formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. If it is not the highest, it is the fallen mystical path. Okay? It is not the highest level of mystical path. Second, believing, yes, there is a spiritual world. At least have some connection to spiritual love, and believe it's not only our two eyes. And the goal of life is to reach that spiritual world, spiritual life, not this life. And believing that you can do it. Okay? It is possible. Many have done and gone and did it before us, and we can do it ourselves. And know thyself, and know that your essence and God is the same. Where have mystical paths gone wrong? All of them have gone wrong. Somewhere, we talked about the Hebrews went wrong. We talked about when the Christians went wrong, when the Muslims went wrong, we talked about when the Baha'is went wrong. We are not supposed to go wrong in this one. We are supposed to get it eventually. Yeah? That's why I'm putting so much effort in it and writing and putting the thing. We are supposed to get it this lifetime. If we are not going to get it, what's going to happen to us in 1,000 years? Ouch. So we have better to get it. So where the mystical path went wrong. So we have to have something that has gone wrong there. Many gods, as we thought. The moment you have more than one god, one is invisible, name is eternal, that mystical path has gone wrong. The goal is to merge with God. They say, just meditate, don't worry about it. Just meditate, you're going to go, you have this in those Indian gurus. Just meditate, you're okay. You're going to go to God. No. God said, what? I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. It means you are going to come back. You're not going to go in by yourself. He's going to throw you back here. So the sooner we get on with the comings of life, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the sooner we all can go back home. So don't try to get there by yourself. You know? It's not going to work. Neglecting the suffering of the rest of the universe. Why did God send his spirit to the darkness? He sacrificed himself. He could have stayed there and said, okay, God says you cannot stay there, I have nothing to do with you. I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm in a pure consciousness. Why did he send his spirit to darkness? Wasn't that a great sacrifice for him? He didn't have to come out of pure consciousness and sacrifice himself to go to the darkness. So that's a lesson for everybody, that is how we should do it. Go back to the darkness. Not be afraid of it. Not say, okay, I'm not going to touch darkness. That darkness, I'm here, I'm fine. I'm going to lock myself to, my little world, and I'm fine. It's not going to work. Because as Buddha said, everything is temporary. Not going to be permanent. They take human as God. That is why God created the concept of Messiah and revealed it to the Zoroastrian, Hebrews, Christians, Muslims, etc. Okay. Who started this? They had it before the flood of Noah. After the flood of Noah, Nimrod and his wife started it, and there's still people doing it. All those gurus in India should go. all the people in India should be freed to go to God directly. And then, so getting in touch and absolutely, you know, get bogged down with the gurus. The only spirit that is followable is the Son of God, is the Messiah, is the Spirit of God, comes on earth with the clear signs, revelation, fulfillment of the prophecies, and all that. Anything else is a trip, is a lower nature, is not the highest level. That's what God created that concept. Worship of statues, pictures, symbols, etc., although they might consider a spirit behind it. I had a hard time to release my picture. If you guys remember, I couldn't do it. You know, people were just asking me, where's another picture? Where's your picture? We want to see you. Okay, here's my picture. But don't get attached to that. You know? See what is behind the picture. It doesn't even get attached to this body. It's going to go. But these words, this spirit is going to stay. And that is your guidance. Okay. Look at that to me. Of course, come to the mission and serve the mission so we can get the communion of blood going and the kingdom come. But the most important thing is the word of God and the spirit of God, which is find. As each religion in the great Islam has to overcome their dogmas and misunderstandings, so do the mystical paths have to overcome these wrong understandings. So the mystical path didn't have a place to improve themselves. If the salvation of man is not guaranteed by following the mystical path, what is the alternative? They should follow the EDP, the Eternal Divine Path, and our teachings. So again, we can see that They are not the path to salvation, as many mystical people believe, that just by following, just by meditating, just by following the, you know, mystical path, they're going to achieve that. But it says, no, I'm going to spew out of my mouth. So that's the alternative. What is the salvation? Then the man has no salvation. It is. That is the eternal divine path. That is the following of the eternal divine path. It, as it is quoted many times, it helps you in a spirit, in physically, mentally, spiritually, individually, and collectively. It has bhakti, karma, and jnana yoga in it. It unifies all religion. It is your salvation. Okay, none of these religions or beliefs are. By the paths were created on earth. Okay, why do we have, you know, the mystical paths? There was a plan. The human was changed and their third eyes were closed. Man became a rational animal and human history was created. He said that their third eye was closed. They couldn't see anything. They couldn't, you know, they cannot see the spirit of God. Therefore, why did God do that? Why God created the human doesn't have a direct relationship with God? There was a plan. What was that plan? During the last 10,000 years, those who have progressed were chosen. He exactly goes in the word of God. He did it to bring us to this point. For what? He doesn't like us? He wants to get our power away from us? He wants to close our third eye? And all why? Does he really want us to make suffer? Why did he that? He had a plan. In the last 2,000 years, those people who become interested in the spirituality, meditated, awoken to the spiritual forces, became more spiritual, realized there is a world, and become mystics, came to this point, and God was sending this revelation one-on-one and guiding them to this. They became the chosen ones, the elect. Now, at the end time, they have been reincarnated again, or will be soon. Okay? These are the ones we are calling to gather together as the chosen, soldiers of God, Paravipras. When they all come together, we will eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! So, you see, Nishit is passed so well, you know, just like a hand and glove. Because it shows absolutely what God meant. Why did He do that? Why He created this thing for us? Where we are? Why we don't have the connection to the spiritual world? Because we misuse it. Okay? But He chooses only those who have been attracted to God and meditation and progress to come to this point. Now, when they see this teaching, they get in fire. So that makes sense, you know. I want to be a part of this, and they come and just...
I'm awaiting even greater, you know, revival. Is that what we say, Christian? Revival of the mission. You have a revival gathering and bring many dedicated souls. They come here to say, I'm here to serve. I'm here to just bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. I've meditated enough. I want to go home. You know, I want to jump and find the, you know, my home like a cricket team, you know, just like, you know, the Seagull, what his name was? Janathan? Janathan Seagull. Elect have been prepared. For the last 1,000 years, the elect have been in the process of being prepared. All prophecies and revelations are culminated for this revelation and this time. The seven seals are open. The book with the seven seals is revealed. The prophecies are fulfilled. God has revealed His whole plan on earth. The elect are called to come, respond, join, and help in bringing His kingdom on earth. So this is the goal, to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. To call the elect. This is the whole plan, was to create His elect for the last 2,000 years. Okay. This could not have been accomplished before this end time revelation after the coming of the seven angels, prophet. Elects are not the sons of God yet. After 1,000 years, they will become the sons of God. So you guys are still not done yet. You are elects, but you have to work on it. You have to come, you have to join, you have to help, you have to lead the mission. You have to create the facilitating body, you have to create the hierarchy, you have to reach the whole, you know, corner of earth. Okay. And then, little by little, more people can see. The Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Christians, everybody sees, it's not coming, He's not coming, and we are getting even worse on earth. There's going to be greater tribulation, there's going to be greater destruction. Okay. Do we have to wait until destruction comes? I'm afraid we have. Because humanity is not listening, it's not coming, it's not joining, it's not creating the people that we need.
Because they think they're secure.
Yeah, well, even those who are here, you know, they're still struggling with the idea of completely surrendering and submission and coming and joining and doing the will of God and forgetting about their ego. And which is okay. I'm not complaining, I'm just stating the fact and the truth, but we know that His kingdom will come. Because He said He's going to do it, many things He did, and He did, He has done it. And it's going to happen. And we can see it absolutely shows what the plan of God is. It just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does make sense. Yeah. Thank you. 2 phases before the kingdom comes, for 1,000 years, He will come as the thief of the night. Oh, maybe that's what the answer is right there. You are here like a thief of the night in this lifetime. Maybe not. Actually, I'm thinking maybe if I find a couple of people, they can travel with me or, you know, come with me and support me and be with me. We find out what each religion or group or people expecting the way Messiah to come, and we go and act it out. Just like...
We need a white camel.
For the white horse.
No, we need a white horse.
Just like
something about a red cow too.
Red heifer.
Oh, that's right. In the sword.
You mean the whole plan of the God based on the red heifer?
Yeah.
Hello.
You're explaining biology.
So, for instance, if
American Indian believe he's going to come in a white robe or red robe. Because I'm already came into white robe. I just, sometimes it's cold, so it could have something over the white robe. So put the red robe or go, for example, to Arizona's place and go to American Indian. Go meet them, talk to them. See other different groups. Some kind of study. Exactly, just meet their expectation and I'm ready to go. And I have enough of reading and writing and giving satsang and everything. I'm ready to reach out. So if anybody wants to come with me and is support me and go with me together, you know, the word is out. I'm ready to go. So he will come to establish the kingdom. That is the second of the plan. The first one is that we come as a, maybe this is the time to reach out. You know, let more people know about us. That's a good way to get word out at the same time. You know, maybe God wants us to do that. And of course, eventually the kingdom will come. Okay. There's no doubt about that. This lifetime, fine, not, I'll be back. All the guys. We are calling the elect. Are you an elect? Are you a Paravikra? Every question everybody should ask themselves, am I a Paravikra? I'm an elect. Are you willing to give up everything of individual life for this ideal? That's another question. Am I really ready to do that? That's how it takes. That's what it took for me. I dropped everything. I started the mission, remember, with 10 cents, with no visa, with no, you know, immigration was after me. What are you doing? You're supposed to finish your education, and I have 10 cents in my pocket, and I want to change the world. That is crazy, isn't it? These are the people we are looking for. They follow the EDP. There are at least 144,000 of them, and many millions and more will support them. Of course, we have a group. They are Paravipras. They are absolutely dedicated to the mission. They dedicate their life to it. They understand the teaching. They progress. They forget about their ego. They absolutely become egoless and follow the eternal divine path to the highest possible. And that millions of other people that they support them. We have a support group. We need a support group. You know, computers need to be run. You know, websites should be taken care of. You know, finances should come, you know, from somewhere to get these people going. You know, traveling and doing this, acting out, it needs paying for the bus, or maybe we should get an RV or something. And then, oh, hey, you guys have RV.
Well, we want to get a house, and we already said we wanted to donate that to you.
Great.
Yeah,
we can probably use that. Mm-hmm. At least in the summer, maybe we can start doing that, like summer or something. We'll see what happens. But that's an idea out. We can do it. Let us pledge our lives to this most holy vision and fulfill our reason for this life. Let us bring God's kingdom on earth. This is the vision, the plan. A salutation to the divinity within you all. Hello.